Good morning, everyone. Are y'all ready? We are going to coach today. Let me bring up the attendees and let me bring up Coach Lizzie. Promote her. Today we have a double header, so you got me until I coach everyone. So if you want coaching, make sure you raise your hand, because if we don't have enough people, we stop. Corinne's not a beggar. I don't beg for shit, so just know that. And then after at 12:30, we have the maintenance coaching call coming up. So you can ask questions today. You can get coached today by raising your hand. You can, those are the main two ways to get help today. So, and just so that everybody knows, next month we're going to be working on weekend binge eating, which is just simply you don't have to be a binge eater. It is where you do really well through the week and then everything goes to shit on the weekends. So some people shit, it goes to shit at night. For some people, it goes to shit when they feel certain things or certain things happen. And for some people, it goes to shit on the weekends. So I'm just on a mission to try to uncover all the big places where overeating goes to shit and let's fix it. All right. So we got two people with their hands raised. We'll see if anybody else is brave enough to get help. I don't know why y'all so scared of me. It's not like I come through and take a bite out of your ass. Deborah, you're up first. Am very sinusy, so I apologize if I hack and shit all the way through this call, but I've just about given up on my sinuses. I take all the things. I take eye drops for sinuses because my eyes get irritated. I take Claritin. It is just This is as good as it gets for Corinne. All right, Deborah, what are we coaching on? Or what do you want
Hi,
help with?
Corinne. I am super nervous. It's been a while since I've been coached by anybody, let alone yourself. So I joined No BS in December 23. I'm a touch heavier now than I was when I first started. But I think I've improved my relationship with food generally. My accountability group have been really on to me to come to coaching for a while, but I haven't been able to for a while. So I think I've kind of got all the things, but I'm not, I can't, I haven't been able to really form them into questions necessarily. So that's made it like I haven't taken anything to ask coaches for a while. But yeah, I think I have reduced my emotional eating and I'm better at sort of ping-ponging thoughts and things like that. But I think that sometimes I get overly emotional and get overwhelmed. Well, there's a whole range of stuff, really. I started to write down the times when I know I overeat, and then you can pick from the smorgasbord.
Well, just give me some, or
So
either do you want
sometimes
me to pick, or do you want to
I'll
look
let
at
you
the one,
pick.
like which one? Okay, you want me to just pick one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, tell me the smorgasbord.
So the things I wrote down was sometimes I find it, I don't think I find it hard to tell when I'm to start when I'm hungry, but sometimes I kind of go, no, you're not hungry, no, you're not hungry, no, you can't be hungry now, and then I get like a really panicky feeling, and it's like you need to eat everything now, because I must have gone a little bit too hungry, but it's not necessarily, I know I'm not crazy hungry, I just know that, like, I don't know, I just start panicking, and I think it's a 5-2 legacy, that intermittent fasting, probably that sort of legacy of that sort of thing when it, like, in the past.
Okay.
I have a bit of a problem with overcommitting and then getting overwhelmed and then overeating because life's like I'm quite commit over I'm quite overcommitted, and then life's and then I get overwhelmed, and then sometimes the only way I feel like I can deal with that is to overeat. I do some without I don't necessarily hear the thoughts too much, some deserve it eating and some that ties in with tired eating, so I think that also ties in with the overwhelm and overcommitting. And then I have some of the might as well finish it, don't want to waste it, or and I'm getting better at being more comfortable with wasting food. Well, not wasting food, but not finishing my plate, putting it to the side for another day, or just saying, no, I've had enough, I'm going to stop now. I'm so much better than I've ever been. But I still sometimes happens and I don't manage to, ping pong it away.
Okay, that one, can I just let me say on that one, I don't even think you need to work on it. It's already working.
Yeah.
That's just part of, you just
Okay.
have to let it ride. If you're saying I'm getting more comfortable with it, I'm seeing progress, like I'm just sometimes forgetting or sometimes it's uncomfortable or whatever,
Yeah.
you just that like whenever any of you notice you're making progress in something like that, especially when it comes to wasting food, which most of us, and you can tell me, we intellectually know we're not actually wasting food. We know intellectually, like, there's no harm. There's too much
Yeah.
food on the plate, it's just too much food on the plate. It is not like, you will not make your mortgage this month because today you left behind a chicken nugget. So as long as you intellectually understand that, like you even said and caught yourself, I'm not wasting food,
Yeah.
I'm doing this. That means intellectually you understand it and you understand enough to be to work on it. It just takes time for your nervous system to get used to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I lost all my weight in 2007 and I sometimes just want to vomit if I have to leave. For me now, what triggers it is expensive food. Like if I leave a couple of chips behind now, I'm not too worried about it. Like steak. Like my brain is just like, my gosh, shouldn't waste steak. It's healthy. And, like it'll do all, it just lights up.
Yeah.
But I've gotten used to it and I still can like say, okay, that's not really happening. I'm
Yeah.
just used to thinking that. So I'm not worried about that one. So let's just cross that one off your list so you don't feel like you just have an overwhelming list of things you need to work on. So you have a win right there.
Woo.
Yeah, there we go. All right, what else is on your list?
So that I think that's about it. And what I was thinking was that because again, my accountability group said to keep all my date. Well, I do reasonably well with planning and tracking and stuff. I have blips where I do it not so good, but I'm generally pretty all right with it. And I have a reasonably well embedded gratitude practice and identifying my wins most days. And I also, because of picking up things from like yonks ago from you, I try to identify whys every day and two obstacles that might be coming up. Because you had a 3-2-1 thing at one point. So I try to identify, to write down three whys most days and two obstacles and like my solutions for the obstacles most days. So like I sort of what I've written at the bottom of my thing was that like I seem to do all right, and but then I'll have a big overeat slash binge. I'm not sure whether it's a binge or not because I'm still, I'm certainly, I might have been ashamed of it at one point. I'm probably not as ashamed of it now for various reasons, but I feel like those big overeats then undo the rest of the work I'm doing the rest of the time. So I think.
That's something else we can work on is the misconception that your brain's like it's kind of defined an overeat the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like an overeat really can't undo progress. I just want all of you to think about this. To gain 1 pound of weight, you have to eat 3,500 extra calories. And for like a solid week, you can't be in any kind of a deficit. You would have to be like pretty much eating to what your body requires. And you can even go a little bit over, and you still would just hang out at 1 pound of true fat. So, but a lot of you think that like this one overeat, which most of you don't even overeat 3,500 calories. Now, I will say the difference between a binge eater and an overeater is like to me, like an overeater is like what I used to be. I ate till uncomfortably full. I ate until I felt good or I felt nothing. It could look like a lot of food, but I didn't have a lot of sh like I wasn't shamed. I was ashamed that I wasn't losing weight. But binge eating is usually secret. It's very uncontrolled. There's no, like, you can't hardly stop yourself. Like, most binge eaters will say, you don't really stop until you're getting sick. Somebody walks in the door, or like you have a time constraint. My best friend is a binge eater.
Yes.
She coaches binge eaters. And when she binges, there's only three things that stop her. Someone walks in the door. Like, if she knows her husband's coming home, she will stop
Yeah.
because she's so ashamed of the way she eats. She would never binge in front of another human, ever. Most binge eaters will not binge. And even if they're binging in front of people, they're doing it secretly. They have like techniques that they use to hide how much they're eating out in the open so that somebody wouldn't know. So there's always like the veil of secrecy going on, usually around it. There is immense shame. I mean, days of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just very harsh, more harsh than someone who gets disappointed in themselves or even angry or frustrated.
Yeah.
It is a deep level of hurting and shame. And then it's usually a mass quantity of food.
Yeah.
Like when Jane binges and she tells me what she eats, it never ceases to shock me to think like, gosh, like that's got to feel terrible in your body. I can't even imagine eating that much food. But when you are a binge eater, you're overriding your body. You're just
Yeah.
like, I gotta do this because there's something critical going on emotionally that it doesn't even matter if you feel bad physically. It's like, this is such an emergency. I have to fix it. And so your body will be like, I don't care if you're about to throw up. I don't care, you know, if your mouth, like Jane has ate so much before that her mouth like breaks out in sores and she keeps eating. You know, like she will override physical pain to finish it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if you need to define it unless binging just is a different approach.
Yeah.
It's not like, go ahead.
I used to, before I came to know BS, I would sort of define it as a mini binge because I felt out of control and I was eating a lot more than I would normally and away from other people and going into the garage and taking handfuls of sweets and because I was trying to
That would be
manage
like classic
emotions.
binge eating behavior.
Yeah, but I know that it's nothing like the volume that some binge eaters, consume.
Even if you didn't have that volume, like what you
Yeah.
described is what binge eating would be. It
Yeah.
feels so out of control. There's nothing you can
And I
do.
can feel that I'm not home, because even before I was in OBS, some of the, I'd come across other things where it was like, around trying to manage your hunger levels and things and not eating too much. And I could feel in my body, or I can feel in my body that I've had more than I need, and I just keep eating sometimes. And I know it's not massive amounts, but it's, yeah, I don't. I keep saying, but I don't want to eat this. But I keep eating this.
But this is the thing. You can intellectually not want to do something and in the moment want to do it at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just like if your child's acting out, you can want to whip their ass
Yeah.
and also like talk to them. Or you can want to be the most peaceful parent on the face of the earth. And on the right day, you're yelling. So, like, I think a lot of us, we think that just for some reason, when it comes to food, if we know something, there would be no reason why we wouldn't do it. And it's like food is just like anything else in the world, everything else in the world. You can want to be a great employee and then some days feel like shit and not go to work, even though you know you should. But we don't really sit around and beat ourselves up for those things
Yeah.
because we don't think of that as like, but I know I should and I'm just not doing it.
Yeah.
So that thought right there is such a killer thought because it's think about every time you've ever said that to yourself. Have you ever felt good because you said, I know what to do and I'm not doing it. How do
Yeah,
you feel when you think that thought? Just
helpless, hopeless.
helpless. Exactly. And when we feel helpless, what do we do when we're sitting around and we're like, we got no BS stuff all around us, and we've got education in our brain, and we have all of the, like, basically the rules of no BS, like the things we've learned, you know? So all of that is just out there. And then you're like looking at it, going, look at all this stuff I know. And here I am, just not doing it. And then we're like, and I'll feel helpless. And when you're helpless, what happens?
You stop doing things.
Yeah, we don't go to ask coaches. We lay low for a few days on our plan because, like, if we're feeling helpless, why would we bother? Why bother making a plan? Your bitch ass ain't gonna finish it or do it anyway. So when we allow ourselves to have that thought unchallenged, we don't have compassion. And we don't ask, I wonder why I know to do this and I'm not doing it. We're just feeling helpless and beating ourselves up and thinking we're stupid and this won't work for us. And we just do a lot of stuff. So, for all of you, I just dropped a training the other day. It is in your membership portal. It is literally called I Know What to Do and I'm Not Doing It.
I think I might have seen. Is that one of the
Yes.
Corinthians 60s? Yeah.
Yeah. It's
365,
not a
sorry.
Corinthians 365. I think we actually put it in replays.
Oh,
It's a long
okay.
video. It's
Okay.
like 40 minutes. And when I say long, I mean it's not 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like a 30, 40 minute, I think,
Yeah.
video. I would suggest any of you to watch it. Now, the one thing I did not cover in that one, because that was a training I did for a like a bunch of people on the outside of trying to get them to be a member, is when that thought comes up, you need to think something else. Like you've got to ping pong that thought because it's such a helpless thought. And for me, what always works is I always tell myself, and it's very normal. There are good reasons why we know what to do and we're not doing it. And so if you go watch the video, I give you the two reasons why it happens, and that's all we got to fix. There's a gap in our brain. So when we learn things, we will always not do it until these two critical steps are met. But most diets, what they do is they'll teach you all that you need to know, but they don't include these two steps. And then that's why you can know what to do and not be able to do it. Why you won't have desire in the moment. You won't have willingness, motivation. There's all kinds of feelings that what they do is they propel us forward. And they don't always, they're not always flashy like motivation. I think everybody always waits to feel motivated. It's like, stop waiting on motivation because there's a lot of other feelings that come before it that are less flashy and easier to feel. Like for me, willingness, like if I know why I'm not doing something, it's like, oh, I don't have a solid why for this activity and I don't have an easy way to like plug it into a habit. Like, if I don't have those two things, now I understand, oh, that's the only reason why I know to do something and I'm not doing it. Then I don't feel helpless. I feel curious about, all right, if I'm not planning right now, if I'm not doing something right now I can feel curious about why would that be important? Why would that help me? What, like I can ask the right questions. Then I can think about, like, all right, do I have my planning? I'm just using planning as an example, even though I know it's not your issue. But do I have it stacked against something that I already do to make it easy to do for me? Or do I, like, try to plan on my most overcommitted days in the middle of when I need to be doing something else? And I'm sitting there thinking I should be, doing an epic plan. Like, do I have, different levels of plans. Do I have the today we do not use a planner. Today it is like literally notes app and I'm just like type the text and this is what we'd be eating today. Period. Done. That's what I do. I have different levels for everything. Some days it's a luxurious, long, drawn out, like I'm going to journal and make my food plans and think about my obstacles and I'm going to do all the things. Then some days I go into the 55 plus group. They do a daily food plan thread. I type B colon, here it is. L colon, here it is.
My accountability group got that for
D
me
colon, that's it.
sometimes.
And I don't tell anything else. That's all I got for the day. I just need to get clear on, bitch, you got a busy day. Here's what you should do. So let me coach you though. So you've got, there's two things to work on. One, I want to coach you on. The other, I just want to tell you what to do. Because all you gave me was literally when you said, I have a smorgasbord of things. And then you gave
Well,
me,
I thought I'd written down five bullet points, but it maybe not.
it was three, and one of which wasn't even a problem. Okay. So we don't ever have to think anymore. I have a smorgasbord of reasons why I'm not losing weight. I was like, I have two. Pretty easy. You are not allowed to argue with your hunger anymore. I promise you, as a past binge eater, faster, and all the things that the litany of evidence that you gave me, you are triggering your own panic. And the last thing you need to do to lose weight is to eat when you're panicked. Just, it's a recipe for disaster. You would probably do better that any time you have the whiff of hunger and your brain tries to argue, like, no, it's just time to eat. Time to eat. Because when you panic, you're probably triggering the inner binge in you is now eating because she's so worried you're going to go back to fasting and stuff. So now she wants you to overeat. She's just like, I need to eat a lot of food and I need to be eating because I just think she's going to be pushing hunger too long. And I think she's going to do this. And so your body right now is like trying to send you signals to help you repair it. And you're going like, you're wrong. You're wrong. We're just not hungry enough, bitch. You're going to have to wait.
I
And
think
it's,
it's because as well, I would push it too far, but then other times I'd be like, oh, I think I'm a little bit peckish. I'm going to have some crackers, or do you know what I mean? Like,
but what is the wrong with being peckish and having crackers?
because
Who
those,
got
I
fat
think
over
that
being
was the
peckish
time
and
that would,
crackers?
those things I would have, like, well, I'd have buttered crackers and then I'd probably eat too many of them, like, a
But
bit.
when you do that, I want you to think like let's really like peck like go through this. When you would have butter and like crackers and all this other stuff, were you starting at peckish? Were you starting at like honoring your body,
I
being
don't know.
compassionate and understanding, or were you like excusing your way in and trying to fix an emotional problem in the past?
I'm not sure.
Just
Could have
think about
been.
the past. How many times
Because I
did you
was doing it,
overeat from
well,
compassion?
at one point I thought it was habit. That's why I tried to stop it, because I used to come in from work and immediately start eating. And then I thought, well, that feels like transition eating. And therefore, I should probably try and not do that because I'm not really
But
hungry. Because I could eat something at work, like be a little bit hungry, eat at work, drive 20 minutes home and immediately start eating as soon as I walked through the door. And I was like, no, that's, but I would feel hungry. So sometimes it's trying to work out like yesterday I had a little bit of a panicked feeling at lunchtime, because I ate my breakfast quite late, and it was reasonably su substantial, but it was later than I know, like, let's say it was 9:30. I can't remember, 9:30, 10 o'clock or something like that in the morning. And then I think at about 12 I've got a bread maker. I got the fresh loaf of bread out of the bread maker. Maybe it was one. I got the bread out of the bread maker and I was smelling it and going, that smells delicious.
yeah.
And then I was like, I'm hungry. And I was like, are you really hungry, or are you just wanting to eat the bread? And then I was like, I don't know. No, it's not that long since I've eaten. It's only, I think it had been
But
3 hours.
no.
I
Wait,
was
wait, wait,
like,
wait, wait. Wait, wait, wait. I'm going to stop you right there. You went to the wrong place to decide if you were hungry. I just want you to understand. You went to your last meal timeline instead of What is happening in my stomach? What is happening in my, is my, what is my energy level? Because I, like all of you, like I know that the only time helps for me is when I'm thinking, okay, I know how long it's going to be before I eat, and I'm not hungry now, so I'm going to eat now. Because, like, today's a good example. I was not hungry at all for breakfast today. I could have cared less about breakfast today, but I don't get done today until 2. And I'm going to be on calls. Guess when hunger would strike? About
Bang in the
11:30.
middle.
Yeah. I'm not going to be like, all right, everybody, I'm sorry, but we got to end coaching because I feel hunger in my body now. We can't just always stop, drop, and eat when we want to. So that's when we use time. The only other time I like to use time is when if I am brand new to losing weight, and I'm trying to figure out, am I eating enough at a meal? Because in the very beginning, it can be easy to eat enough to knock off hunger, but not get to enough. It's like sometimes for people in the beginning stages, or when they've restarted or whatever, they will eat and like an hour later they're hungry, an hour and a half. And that is just a signal of I'm probably going to need to eat more at my meals to really feel like what the difference between enough and the difference between, oh, I just killed hunger. I didn't actually eat to enough though. And that takes playing with. There's no like I don't somebody type in the Q&A, how do you know the difference? Because you have to listen to your body. This is where trust comes in. This is why I teach y'all, we're going to learn how to like think and trust and experiment and do things because that's how weight loss works. But you and I would have very different signals. That's why I can't just give you a black and white rule. Now, you went to timeline. You think because you ate later and that at 12 or 1, you shouldn't be hungry. That is, you did not do. It's like, all right, I get that I ate later than I normally do, but I might actually be hungry. I normally eat during this time. My body is very conditioned to be hungry at this time. You probably were hungry and you didn't need to sit there and be like, no, you're being bad. We just ate. Oh my God. You're like my granny. Like she was a pistol, dude. Southern granny. And I mean, she'd just all but slap the teeth out of your mouth if you were hungry too soon. It's like, this is not when we eat. It's like, don't be a Southern granny to yourself. So for you, like the first thing is, I think it would be good for you to make friends with hunger because right now I feel like if I asked you to tell me if one is my mortal enemy and four is my best friend in the whole world, and I hope we like draw our last breath together. Where would hunger fall on the scale of 1 to 4?
Don't know. It probably does fall into more of the. I would never have thought that, but it's sort of a pain. It's
Right.
the
You're
bit that
talking about
stops
like,
me from eating when when I want a snack. I'm not hungry enough. But if it wasn't there,
right.
then I would eat less, and I might actually hit my goal.
Right.
Is I
You're
probably what I'm
enemies
thinking.
with hunger. It's like you stop me from doing what I want to do. I don't like you for that. And by the way, you also try to get me to eat when I don't think I'm supposed to be eating. I don't like you for that either. Like you don't like hunger. You're like number one. You're like, I'm a one. It's an enemy. And
Yeah,
it's like,
probably. Maybe a two.
hey, maybe a two. Do you have like an animal you really love? Like, do you have like cats, dogs, anything you like think are just adorable and cute?
I don't
Like,
have
if you
any
are,
pets at the moment, no. I have
it's
lots of children.
growing.
three of my
All
own.
right. Do you
My husband has three.
have one kid that was exceptionally cute as a baby?
Oh, they were all exceptionally cute, but yes, I'll pick one.
Okay, just pick one of your kids then.
Yeah.
That is hunger now.
Okay.
That is like that little, like I need you to be looking at it like it's a cute, adorable baby. And it's just
Okay.
like, I just want to be in your life. I love you so much. Like, I want to help you. Like, mommy, can I help you cook today? Like, it's like the best child ever. And you're yelling at it. And you're saying, like, no, you can't help me. You shouldn't even be asking. By the way, just go sit in the corner. And in fact, I'd be happy if I could just give you away. It's really important. I know we talk about it in a funny way, but you need to start thinking about all of the things that hunger does for you, tries to help you, all the ways right now it might be trying to communicate to you and you're dismissing it and you're acting like it's a problem. And it keeps coming back because it's like, I'm going to always keep trying. I'm your friend. I'll never give up on you. And you're just like putting it through the ultimate gauntlet of friendship. I think that would help you, but if nothing else, one thing that would help is just for now, if you're hungry, eat. Because your problem is I gain weight when I ignore hunger. It triggers panic, it triggers overeats. If I'm ignoring my hunger, I'm not losing weight. I'm actually setting myself up for a bastard relationship, helpless feelings, anger, frustration, panic. It, like you're triggering all of that by just not eating when you're hungry. So that's the first one. Now, the other one, overcommitting.
Yeah, that's my biggie.
Yeah. I don't even think you need to worry about the I deserve it eating because I think the I deserve it eating is from the same tree of
Yeah,
overcommit.
probably.
Why aren't you just saying no to people?
Don't know. I mean, so I work full time. I have three kids. I'm divorced from their dad. I have them half the time. We don't live nearby to where they go to school currently, although it might change for my youngest when she goes into secondary school.
What is do this right now? You're telling me the things that you can't eliminate. This is always what's so funny. When I ask somebody like tell me about overcommitting, it's like, well, let me list my children and my job. It's like, okay, we're
Well, I
not getting rid
also
of those. So
I'm a Cub Scout leader.
okay.
And I have an allotment, and they're probably the two. They're the things that, like, I've wanted an allotment since I was about 18, if not before. And I do really like it, but it's a lot of work, particularly in the summer. And I really like being a cub leader, and I've made a lot of friends, and it's been good for my kids. It is good for my kids.
But tell me if you
But
were to
it's
say, here's where I'm overcommitted. Overcommitted means we need to make the list of things that you are doing right now. And some of them you may like, but they're the things that before you do it, you hate it, they overwhelm you, you dread it. You may like it when you're done, but there's a lot of stuff, or you resent when you're there. You
Oops,
wish
falls
you
a
had
bit into
not
that
said
bracket.
yes.
And the
Like,
allotment falls a bit into that bracket sometimes as well.
okay.
I've seen on the thing, oh, somebody said, explained what an allotment is. It's like you rent a piece of land for a small fee. I think ours is like £25 a year or £30 a year or something like that. And grow vegetables on it and fruit. So it's great. It's lovely. I get so many raspberries. I made 2.5 kilograms of blackcurrant jam yesterday.
Right, but I need you, like, so far you've not really, like, do you want to keep the allotment or not?
I do want to keep the allotment, and I want to keep on cubs, but my I think, well, I'm trying to remember what Emma said and what Kerry said on when we were talking about it on in our accountability group. So with the Cub Pack, I run a Cub Pack. They meet for an hour and a half a week in school term, and then we do camps and we do weekend events and things like that. And it is quite, I think it's because I'm looking at going, the kids go back to school at the start of September here, and
Okay.
then we'll start Cubs up again. And I've got like a weekend with commitments on the Saturday and the Sunday in September, and then in October I've got 2 weekends where I've got a camp
Okay.
one
I
weekend
don't
and
need
a
to
camp.
know all, like, I don't need
Yeah,
to know
sorry.
your calendar. All right. This is the problem that we get into.
Now I know.
I asked you, do you want to keep it?
Yes, I
Okay.
do.
Then, if the choice is, I want this, you are not allowed to say it's overcommitting.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to even be overwhelmed. You are allowed to say, I chose to do this.
Yes.
I want this level of things in my life. You have to really convince yourself that it's real easy for, especially for women. I don't know what happened with women, but at some point we grew dicks and have pissing contests with each other over how overcommitted and how much we have to do and all this other kind of stuff. It is like martyr syndrome almost for us, for ourselves. I'm not talking about going out and telling everybody else. It's like you have a pissing contest with yourself. If you get used to being overcommitted, because that's the way you describe it, guess what you do? You
Keep on
have to
overcommitting.
fulfill it. Because if you're not overcommitted, let me ask you this. Let's just say for some wild reason, you gave up allotment and you gave up Cub Scouts. You're like, I'm so sick and tired of feeling overwhelmed that I am willing to give away things I love so that I just have more time for myself.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna buy jelly and jam now. I'm not making jelly and jam. I am going to have my weekends back and figure out other ways to connect with my children. And, but
Yeah.
it can't be Cub Scouts anymore. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that, but I am curious if you had all of that gone and you had, now you're no longer an overcommitted person. You're like, I got time on my hands quite a bit now. How would you think you would, like, I want you to really put yourself there and think about how would you really feel?
Well, when, because of COVID, if I put free and light, I think, because when I've done a variety of things, work and stuff like that, but with COVID, I moved during COVID. I also moved jobs. I moved in with my husband. Well, he wasn't my husband then, but moved in with him. And with COVID, all of the scouting mostly stopped around us, so I wasn't doing the meetings anymore and that sort of thing. And it was quite nice to have all that extra free time. And
Okay.
I went part time as well. So again, I just felt like I could be more on top of my own life.
Okay.
Rather than other bits getting like maybe it's the best of me and not, you know, I would get up early and do yoga because I knew I had time. Whereas when I went back to
Right.
being full time, I would get up and meal prep, like prep for dinner that evening so that to maximize the time that, well, to take advantage of the time that I had.
So this is good for you to know. Okay.
Yeah.
Reason why I asked the question is because I want you to start thinking about which one do you want most? A life where you feel free and relaxed and where you can take care of yourself and do things for yourself? Or do you want to keep these commitments that overwhelm you at times, but they have their own unique benefits. They, you know, you think they're good for your children. You enjoy the gardening part. Like everything always comes with a trade-off. Everything. The reason why I want you to see that is because you're talking about this as like, I'm overcommitted, as if this is just happening to me. There's no choices. And then, and people who are overwhelmed, They do it because they don't think they have a choice anymore. And we just walked through and we discovered you really do have a choice. You just haven't really thought about what you want to be doing and what you don't want to be doing in a long time. And when you think about it, if you want to keep your commitments, you will never say, I'm overcommitted anymore. You now say, I do the commitments that mean a lot to me, even if sometimes I can't take care of myself too, even if sometimes it means this. But we got to take down the I'm overcommitted feelings, because guess what we feel when we're overcommitted?
We're back
Besides,
to helpless and hopeless.
yes, right. We feel helpless. And no wonder we get overwhelmed. And it's an attitude that we look at it. I have to do this to myself all the time because I just have a lot that goes on in my life. I mean, a lot. And I have to be very mindful about how I talk about it, because I can easily slip into being the victim of my life and I feel helpless and I feel like everything's on top of me now. It's all on my shoulders. That's why I'm so mindful about like looking at what I commit to and saying things that you're dreading probably need to be examined. And if you're going to keep them, you no longer get to bitch about them. You need to like clean your attitude up about it because you're choosing it. It's not been thrust upon you. And then when I do that, I don't feel helpless. Now, that does not mean that I don't feel tired a lot. Sometimes I'm whining. Sometimes I'm like worried I'm not going to get everything done, but it's manageable overwhelm. You're going into like stratospheric overwhelm that causes you to have to eat to get through it. For me, I get overwhelmed. I don't overeat over it because it's what I call manageable now. I just know, like, yeah, and I choose this stuff because, like, there's very often I agree to do things for people because I don't want to tell them no. And I don't want their feelings to be hurt. And I don't want to let them down. And I always remind myself, Corinne, you're going to dread going and you're probably going to feel like you don't have the time to do it, but you'd rather feel those things than to feel like you couldn't help someone and you couldn't be there for them. Didn't want to tell them no. Just notice how different, like, you won't feel helpless in those moments. You'll feel in control. You might not love what you're doing when you have to show up when you'd rather be doing yoga, but there's a difference between not loving it and feeling helpless and having to.
I think with it being a voluntary thing, it's so hard to get other leaders. I think that's, there's an element of feeling like you have to, because otherwise you're letting people down. But then that's just the way, it's still a
But you have.
decision.
Right. And you have to remind yourself, if I really don't want to be there, I can either let them down and let them figure it out and let me down every weekend. Because if you don't really want to be there and you're only doing it because it's hard to get leaders, you need to just resign. Because I bet at some point you became a leader. I mean, it was hard to find leaders then too.
No, I know.
And here you came. I guarantee you, especially with Cub Scouts that have been around for what, a long ass
Hundreds.
decade.
Our group is in its 70th year, I think.
70 years.
It's
It's been
more than
hard to
70 years.
find leaders.
There's
They have an
more than 100
amazing.
years for Cubs, yeah.
Yeah, well, they have an. Your group has a 70-year track record of finding leaders. And in your mind, it's like I'll be the one to break the system.
I just wish I could dial it down a little bit, but then I want to dial it down a bit, and then I go, we should do this camp. It'll be great.
Okay, then that's what you know how like you do your food planner every day where there's going to be obstacles? You need to do your Cub Scout obstacles,
Yeah.
which means one of my obstacles is thinking about how great something is and not thinking about the emotional toll it will take. So I'm not allowed to have a great this. Now, this is a business tip I'll give you, but it will apply to Cub Scouts. We do this in our business. We call it the squirrel cage, and that is where all ideas go and most die. Because if we acted on every idea that me and all of my coaches have for y'all, it would be overwhelm city. Would not be able to keep up. Like we always have ideas for y'all, and we're always wanting to switch the system and do this and do that and do this. So we always say when we have an idea, we have to park it, and you can just get yourself a notebook or you can do it in your phone. And it's got to sit there for at least 24 hours before you are allowed to make a decision. Because when you initially have an idea, you also trip dopamine. And when you trip dopamine, your brain is only thinking about all the amazing things that'll happen. When you allow the dopamine to go down, your brain now can kick in its logic and it'll be like, I mean, that sounds fun, but also you've been bitching that you don't have time for yoga. Like, is this going to, like fuck this up? Like, it gives your brain an opportunity to argue both sides of the story. When you first have an idea, it's almost impossible to punch holes in it. One thing that we always do, and maybe this sentence will help you and others who do this, is whenever we have an idea, we park it. And then we ask, all right, sounds like a good idea. What are all of the things it's going to break? So we ask, like, what will it break? And usually it's like, well, we'll get X amount of people write in because they like this planner better than this planner. And this thing's going to happen and this thing's going to happen. So when we notice what it's going to break or what are the unintended negative consequences or here's the good things, and then here's the negative things. It's all the same. Then you decide. Because now you may have 10 reasons why it's great. You may have 12 reasons why it's negative. You may have 10 reasons why it's great. You may have 3 reasons why it's negative. Be like, I'm willing to deal with those things for this. Or you may look at those 3 things and be like, oh my God, I'm not even willing to fill those 3 things. Like, we got to say no to this great idea. But that will give you, like, when you talk about getting overwhelmed, these are like techniques to plug in to make your life less overwhelming. A lot of feeling overwhelmed is just giving yourself enough pause to get through the initial overwhelm so that the logical brain can come back and then you think it through.
That sounds good.
I know that you. I think all of this is going to help you get the weight loss going. You're just eating because you're arguing with hunger and you're overcommitting yourself. Those two things right there will always trigger extra eating. So we just got to fix those two things so we can quit triggering the extra eating. You sound like you're really in touch.
I try to be.
Are. I mean, I can just tell by the things you say, you're really in touch with things. It's just overcoming these two very clear moments that are happening. Okay. How are you feeling?
All right. Good.
Not near as nervous as you were when you first came on.
I'm still incredibly hot because I was just blushing like ridiculous.
Okay. It's all right, but I can tell by your demeanor that you're a lot less than you were when you first came on. So I'm glad. Okay. All
Cool.
right.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
you. All
Thank you.
righty. Hang on, my mouse dies whenever I do a call. All right, Mary. Wow. I don't know what we just talked about, but there's a bunch of you with your hand raised. I've never had this many people's hand raised on a Sunday in a long time. Y'all come to play. Where would
Okay,
I
can
find more info on the concept of arguing with hunger? At just what I talked about. Arguing with hunger, literally, if you're arguing with hunger, stop. Just for everybody who ever, this is all you need to know. If you're arguing with hunger, you should just eat. Just eat. Even if you're a little bit hungry, guess what? You'll hit enough pretty fast. It's not the end of the world. I think y'all have such a, I don't know why y'all think you gotta be so fucking hungry just to lose weight. You don't have to be real hungry to lose weight. You gotta stop eating past enough to lose weight. That's the most important thing. All right, Mary, tell me the things. What are we working on?
We are working on emotional eating.
All right.
So I'm going to skip all the backstory because I don't, we've said before that doesn't always matter.
Yes.
I was this part does directly relate. I ended up in the ER. It ended up being like my esophagus squeezing. I didn't know that was a thing, and reflux due to reflux. So one of the things that they tell you to do is to eat smaller, more frequent meals, and of course, I should be losing weight and etc. The smaller, more frequent meals part works for me because the good part about this is that I've realized that's how I naturally function. It always stressed me out a lot to like have to wait till the next meal and I couldn't wait and then I felt like a failure and what's wrong with me. So that part is okay, the smaller, more frequent meals. What I have realized, I have realized that I eat for emotional reasons. Knowing what to eat, that's not a problem. We could all write a book on that, right? I know that I should be only eating when I'm hungry and stopping at enough, but I set myself like a little curriculum and I was going to, it was doable. I was going to read through, redo the emotional eating course, which I started. And then I had certain things I'm tracking on some paper because I wanted to track those specific things, including like meals and was I stopping at hunger and enough. And the first 3 days were great, lost 2 pounds, felt great about myself. And then the following week, I gained 3 pounds. And then I was like, well, all those things like in your head, I hear the old thoughts of like, see, you can't do this. You're still overeating. I'm not losing weight. It's not worth it. At the same time as I know I need to do this for my health. But I'm in the probably one of the hardest periods of my life for a variety of reasons right now. Which, although I will say I think I've been, I'm pretty sure I've been an emotional eater like my whole life. My whole life, that's been like a go-to.
Well, everybody comes out of the womb an emotional eater. What's the first thing you do when you're a baby? Cry because you're naked, scared, and afraid, and you
Right.
get fed. We learn from literally the first 3 seconds of our life
Yeah.
that food fixes things. So everyone is an emotional eater. So don't feel bad about that. There's
Well,
no way to be a human without being an emotional eater. I mean, it's just impossible.
it's tied into the fact is that my mother was like anorexic eating disorder, and I was taught that my hunger, I learned that my hunger was actually a problem, like from a child.
Where are we at today?
Today, I find myself eating for any kind of reason. I could be bored. I could be, I mean, any kind of reason. It could be a good reason, good emotion, you know, not good emotion, it doesn't really matter. And I know you know, I have moments where I can like stop myself and be like, well, you know, drink some water, wait a little bit. I can do all those things, but it
Okay.
doesn't last. You know, like the first 3 days of this, like, little, you know, self course that I was doing of tracking the things and everything. And I got good information out of it. That week that I gained 3 pounds, I got good information out of it. You
Yeah.
know, namely that like dinner, I'm not stopping at enough at dinner on a regular basis. I could see when I was kind of grab assing through the week. But instead of that giving me information about, okay, this is what I can do, I take it as, well, see, you failed that too. I just can't do it.
Okay, so
That's where
that
I go.
let me ask. All right, good, because that's where your brain should go.
Okay.
Where else is it supposed to go? Well, in your mind, what is your brain supposed to do after decades of thinking this?
Well, because
I know the things, but I don't do the things. That disconnect between knowing and doing. And I can't like that. I hate that Nike just do it. I can't stand that because that doesn't always work for me.
But I didn't ask you about that.
I know.
So answer my question. What do you
What else?
think is supposed to be happening in your brain?
I'm supposed to be looking at, like, if I have that all that data of like the whole week I overate at dinner. Okay, next week I should just not overeat at dinner and we'll all be fine.
Okay, so how old are you?
I will be 50 in
Okay.
like less than a month.
So for 47 years, because you probably got language at about, like, probably earlier than three, but we'll say like functional language three. For 47 years, your brain has been trained to go to, this isn't working, or somehow I'm doing it wrong, or this is bad. You've already talked about your mother and all this other stuff. Tell me, like, and I want you to really think about this. Tell me how reasonable it is for you to expect your brain to have the most insightful, logical, and thoughtful thoughts when you mess up.
That it isn't logical. My immediate reaction is to say, well, I learn things all the time. I'm learning things all the time. I read a lot. I'm an educator. I learn things all the time. As a professional, I'm a teacher. I am very used to like, hey, I have this new thing. I try it out. It worked or it didn't. I know what to do next. I can do that, right? And I don't judge myself. It either worked or it didn't.
Why? What is your attitude about being a teacher?
Because I am confident in my abilities and my capabilities and myself. I know what I'm
Right.
doing.
So we're comparing apples to oranges. In that realm, you feel like an expert. You identify as competent, an expert, all the things. So when you're screwing up over there, you're like, of course. Like, this is just going to take more time. This is just something I got to keep doing. You don't identify that as a dieter. You're not going to have the same thoughts over here. Like, I just want you to see you're doing a very demeaning apples to oranges comparison to yourself. Over here, look at this glorious individual I am. And over here, just a fucking broken soul who's screwing up all the time. Must be something wrong with me. It's like, no, over here, we're not identifying as an expert. We're identifying as a fuck up. So if you think you're just a fuck up, no matter what's a fuck up gonna think? They're not gonna be over here in logic land. So if we know that, and it's going to take a while for you to feel competent and as expert as you do as a teacher, then we got to deal with this version. And right now you're mad at her and you're acting like she's broken and all kinds of stuff when her brain is acting fucking normal. If your self-concept is, I'm not good at this, don't expect your brain to not be scared and freaking out when you're not good at it.
Okay, so just now when you, which makes, I absolutely agree. That feels 100% demeaning to do that to myself. When I'm realizing as you're talking, when you said normal, that's normal.
Yes.
That made me pause for a second because my immediate thought was, but I'm not normal.
How?
Which is,
Tell
it's
me
that
how your
unicorn
brain is
idea.
abnormal from the rest of us. Really, you got to explain it to me. I'll give it to you
It
if you
isn't.
can
I
explain it
know
to
that
me.
it isn't. That's just my immediate first thought. I'm not
Right. It's just
like,
another flavor of I'm incompetent when it comes to losing weight. Well, you're not normal. Well, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And I realize I was trained to think that about myself, that that's not actually true. For the same reason that I don't need to explain all the hard things that are going on in my life because these same things are going on in I don't know how many other women's lives, And so I shouldn't expect myself to be so different that for me it should just click. You
Right.
know, that's not a good expectation to have of myself. I still find myself thinking that because that is training from a very young age.
It's just that, like, I just want you to think about the ways that you can lean on the teacher part of you. She
Okay.
also doesn't expect things to just click. You told me in your story
Yeah.
that you learn things all the time, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Over there,
Oh,
your attitude is it's not always supposed to click.
yeah.
You're learning new things over here in weight loss land. We're having the same thing. If learning new things to life skills in teacher land is not always supposed to click, then you have that is where we absolutely say this is apples to apples. It is unfair of you to say, well, no, now over here it's supposed to. I just
Okay.
want you to see that the problem is really just cherry picking how you think it's supposed to be when it comes to dieting. And the way that you have set it up for rules in your head
Yeah.
doesn't work. It's like that is just not how brains work.
Okay.
It is absolutely not how our neuroplasticity works. It's not how our neural pathways work. Like if you want to get to the science of it, study brain science. Study how the mind works. For me, this is why I include so much of that inside of No BS. I give y'all like a very Kool-Aid version of it. But we don't learn that in diets. Diet culture is work harder, willpower, never miss a Monday. You know, if it doesn't suck, it doesn't work. Like if you think about everything we've learned over there, it all works against the way the human brain, the motivation systems, the ways that new habits are formed. It's like directly against all of it. That is why diets historically have failed us, why it's still like I think a $700 billion industry.
So I'm thinking I need to start talking to myself more like I talk to my students, because the brain thing, I tell my students all the time, the way your brain works is the more often you access something, the more easily available it is and a little more long term it is. But I don't always connect that back to myself, so I could do that for sure.
I think for you accessing that you're more competent when it comes to weight loss than you may be giving yourself credit for. Because, like, you did have 3 good days. And typically, if you look at the way, especially when you're trying to learn things, and when we're talking about overriding emotional eating. Writing emotional eating is a series of skills. It's learning, number one, how to even know when you're doing it. It is part of it is coming up with strategies. Some of it is doing some of the stuff that Kathy teaches. For a lot of us with emotional eating, we need to learn how to like tame our nervous system down in the moment. Like there's just things that we have to learn, skills. And so for you, it's like, you're probably way more competent than you're giving yourself credit for. And so when you explain to yourself, like, I often think, see, blah, 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 blah. The first thing I would tell myself is like, and I totally expected to think all of that because that is how the brain works. It will always access its fears and anxieties and its well-rehearsed sentences before it's going to access anything. One, because it's used to accessing it. Just like you teach your students, if you get used to accessing this new knowledge often enough, guess what happens to this new knowledge? It's integrated. Like I still remember my times tables because we had to do them like 5,000 fucking times when I was in first, second, and third grade. You know, and I'm 51 and I can still remember them. So,
Same.
you know, you just have to like talk to yourself about, but I need you. The crux of this working is going to come down to one pivotal moment and thought. When your brain acts the fool, and it accesses its fears, its worries, and its practice thoughts. You have to quit thinking something must be wrong. I'm thinking wrong. Like, I shouldn't be thinking that way. Or why am I, like, your thing was, why am I not going to all that juicy data that I just collected? Like, why is my brain not sitting there going like, oh, I collected data. No wonder I messed up. And now I can figure this out and blah, blah, blah. In that moment, you have to say, of course, that's what I would think in this moment. I have years of practice at this. I'm not surprised at all that I'm thinking this and that I'm feeling like, because when you have a thought, it takes a while at when you are what we call managing our mind, where you're like the manager of it. It takes a long time before you can hear a thought without feeling it. Years of work, years. That's why I tell people the most pivotal moment to break is when get good at feeling something and choosing to react differently to the feeling. So I'll have a bunch of thoughts of like, you can't do it. You're such a fuck up. You always screw up. You were doing so well. And look, you blew all your progress. Like all the things our brain loves to go to. We're going to feel hopeless, upset, frustrated, whatever comes along for the ride. All those thoughts, they have like a little shot of feeling that comes with them. You're going to notice, like, well, of course I would think and feel these things. That is very practiced for me. When you do that, you have now interrupted reaction. Because if you don't think that, what happens? If you just say, ah, oh, you fucked up again. You were doing so good. You're never gonna get this, blah, blah, blah. Then you feel angry and you feel pissed and you feel hopeless. What do we do? How do
Back
we
to their
react
old.
to that?
It's just like the previous person. You go back to the same stuff you were doing.
Yeah, I eat out of like I'll either overeat because I feel bad, keep going into a fuck it eat. Spend 3 days feeling sorry for myself and eating all the way through it. I'll ding dong ditch on my plans. I'm not going to like make, why would I bother making plans? It's just a shit spiral. All we're trying to do is interrupt. I have all of these thoughts and I have these feelings that will suddenly feel very powerless, very hopeless. You have to get used to how you feel in those moments. And then we say, I totally expected all of this. I got coached by Corinne on it. This is what's supposed to happen. And all she said was, I just need to take a few breaths and agree to do nothing. Don't do anything. Don't try to figure this out. And don't try to eat over it either. Our new reaction is space, time. It's kind of like I've never said it this way, but it's kind of like, okay. We're gonna have what we call the mistake cage. Instead of the idea cage, the squirrel cage, now you got your mistakes cage. It's like, when I feel like this, I'm gonna put all of that into my mistakes cage. And if in 24 hours from now, I still feel hopeless, I still feel like I'm never gonna get it, I can eat, I can quit doing my plans, I can do whatever I want. But I just want to say, I knew I would feel this way. I knew that I would think these things, and I'm giving myself the pause.
Okay, that is just a lot like what you always say. I'm hearing you say all I want you to do is to pause and give yourself space, and my brain is like, that's it. That can't be enough. But I know that you say all the time, make it so easy that you can't like help but do it. You know, make it as easy as possible for yourself to do it. Little tiny steps that you don't think will be good enough. And so, yeah, I'm willing to just sit there and just give
Listen.
my and to think that, to have that, to
Yeah.
catch the thought, because I do notice the thought. And like just give myself space. I like the idea of the putting it in a cage for 24 hours, because I probably won't feel the same way.
So let's piece it together just so, for your brain. If you it thinks that, well, the doing that could never be enough. I mean, how's that going to help you lose weight? Okay. If you don't do that,
Yeah.
What do you do when those thoughts come in?
All my old habits, anything, eating,
Like what?
distracting. I mean, I'm
Eating.
eating, get on my phone and scroll, anything
Okay.
but something helpful.
Okay, it doesn't matter if you're phone scrolling,
Right.
but do you eat over it? Do you end up like sometimes people will do a fuck, it's like, oh, I noticed I messed up, so I might as well finish this. I might as well finish my food, or I'm also going to have a snack tonight. And then the next day it usually rolls into, I'm not going to make a plan today. I'm kind of busy. And you're just kind of eating whatever now.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
we do have a lot
'Cause
of helpless eating.
yeah, because what happens, I'll notice it. I'll try to just like not think that, but I haven't actually given myself time to deal with it. So it just is like it stays in there till later. And then later I end up eating.
Okay.
Just like you
So.
said, you eat later and then the next day you decide, well, why make a plan and whatever, and it rolls that
Okay.
way.
All right. So we know that if you're doing extra eating and you're not thinking or giving a shit, like you even said, like I kind of know the things to eat.
Yeah.
You sound like you probably, when you're in a focused state, you might even make healthier choices around food.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So all of that doesn't happen when we're not doing what Corinne says.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That would probably equal what? 3 to 4,000 extra calories in a week.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, so that's 1 to 1.5 pounds. Okay, now we're gonna do it Kren's way. I'm pausing. Everything's going into the steaks cage.
Okay.
And so for 24 hours, we're not gonna eat over it. We're gonna scroll our phone. If we try to tell ourselves it's hopeless, like, oh yeah, you gotta, you must have opened the cage door. Let me put you back and I'll get a little stick to try to keep you in there. Okay, so for 24 hours, now we're not eating. We're saying, I'm just giving myself, it's like, I knew that I would feel this way. I knew that I would think all these things. I am just giving myself time to just eat normally. And then tomorrow, if I still feel this hopeless, I can always go back to my regular eating.
Yeah.
How would that make you gain weight?
Giving myself space.
Yeah.
I don't think it would, because I think it would be giving myself time to not, like, give myself a moment to choose to not eat something,
Okay, so
as
now
opposed
tell
to
me
just
why.
reactionary eating.
If you do all that, why would that not be good enough? It sounds to me the way you're doing it is the not good enough way.
It is. You're right. I mean, yeah. Because, and the only reason, and it's not a good enough reason, the only reason is because of all the old diet habits mentality that all of us could say, all of the
But
diet
that
things
doesn't.
we've
But
learned.
you can't, but that doesn't prove that it's not good enough. It proves that you're
Right.
just going to have those thoughts. Those also have to go into the steaks cage.
And
They
I
all
don't know
go
if
over
it's, yeah, I don't know if it's not good enough because I haven't tried it yet.
there. Then how about you just tell your ass that when your
Yeah.
brain says it's not good enough? It's like, well, let me try Corinne's way for a little bit.
Yeah.
She seems like she knows what she's doing. I mean, I even pay her money every month because I think she knows what she's doing. Maybe
Yeah.
I should just take her advice and ignore my brain and what it's lighting up with because
Yeah.
it's probably wrong. It's just used to thinking this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need you like in the moment to prove it wrong or anything. I just need you to like be on board with, I'm just used to thinking these things. This is supposed to be the thoughts I'm supposed to have. These are the thoughts and feelings I should be having because they're just well practiced, just like I tell my students. I just need a different reaction to them. My old reaction was to believe them, hook, line, and sinker, and go into the boat. Now I'm just gonna like say, I need you to like wait over here so that I can make sure this is what I want to be thinking.
It feels a lot calmer to think that way.
Yeah. And when you're
Oh,
calm, do you do a lot of emotional eating?
No.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
Most
it
people
feels,
aren't eating because they're so calm.
yeah.
Most of us are eating because we work ourselves up into a tizzy
Yeah.
and we don't calm ourselves. This is just a technique to get you back to a baseline.
It also feels a lot kinder, a
Yeah.
lot more kind to myself to just, all I have to do is just give myself a little space and time.
And then what usually will happen is you get some space from it. At some point, it will naturally happen. You do not even have to make yourself do it. The part of you that does like data and the part of you that is collecting things and stuff like that, now she is like not trying to scream and yell at you over the version of you that's screaming and yelling at you. You don't want them having a yelling match because the asshole version of you always has a megaphone and you don't. Like the vert logic, she can yell all she wants, but she doesn't have a megaphone. Our negative voice does because our negative voice is supposed to. It's driven from fear. And our brain is designed that anything that it's like, if it triggers fear, it thinks it's life or death. That is just how the human body works. The brain hasn't evolved to 2025 and is like, oh my God, what do you mean technology and stuff? I guess I can be, I'm no longer afraid of starving. Your body is always like a preparing for an alien attack or the zombie apocalypse. It just thinks at any moment shit can go down. And so if it's afraid of something, that's why it's louder. That's why it's quick. That's why it's trying to get you to do something. And when you understand all of that, now we just have so much more understanding and compassion and stuff. We're not just sitting around going like, I must be undisciplined and lazy. Must be something wrong with me because I know what to do and I'm just not doing it. You know, we don't have to have those conversations anymore when we understand all of this stuff. Okay. All right. Pausing. That's your big homework.
Thank you.
You're
Thank you
welcome.
very much.
All righty. All right, Kimberly. Laura, you're asking for advice. Put it in a Q&A. You're in the chat. Only reason is because it's easier for Lizzie to find it and answer over there. It's just faster if she sees it in the Q&A. And then sometimes I can find it if it's in the Q&A. So if you don't mind. If you've been here almost 6 years, you're not losing weight. It's emotional eating. My best advice is to get on one of these call, raise your hand on a call and talk about why you're eating. If you don't want to get on a call, then at least tell yourself, like, track your overeats. Where are they happening? All right, Kimberly, let's see if you're coming. All right. Kimberly, when you come on, make sure you turn your camera on so I can see you. I will promise all of you, if you've been trying to lose weight and it's not happening, it is the emotional eating component, and you're going to need to be willing to look at that. I promise that is all it is. And it's not that deep. It will not be that traumatic. Look at all, I haven't even got anybody cry yet today. Not a tear has come. It's not been that traumatic. It's just like, think about the two calls we've had. I mean, one woman had a mom with anorexia, and it just came down to, I think you need to pause. I think when your brain goes here, I think you need to try pausing. Like the overcommitting, it's like, just decide what do you want to have all these things and enjoy these benefits and these consequences, or do you want to have this life over here with these consequences and these benefits? Like, so often we're not even asking ourselves simple fucking questions that can alleviate so much emotional eating. All right. Who is Kimberly? All right. What are we coaching on?
So the person that just wrote cute hair kind of falls exactly into what I wanted to talk to you about, is
Cute
that,
hair?
yeah, she wrote cute hair. No, but so in by many people's estimation, I've been very successful in my career, my marriage, all these other things. I have cute hair, but in my mind, I have the yes, but I've
Okay.
not ever gotten to a normal weight, never maintained normal weight. And why is that a big deal? And I just need help thinking about, instead of focusing on a weight loss number, I need help to figure out how to be focused on the process. Because what happens is I know the processes, but because I don't ever make it to the goal, I abandon the processes. And so I need help with that. One question is, how do I stop that? Because
Tell me
that's
why you
where,
abandon the process.
because when I don't make it, quote unquote, and I don't achieve it, because I'm very goal oriented, I set a goal, I do it, period. But this is the one goal, and that's what I write all the time, is why can I not do this one thing
Tell me
that
the
I've,
reason why you can't.
because I sabotage myself when
What
I'm
does that mean?
doing. It means that I stop the processes. I
No, that's
hear,
not a sabotage.
it is though, because I hear the voice say, you've had enough. And I tell her to shut the fuck up.
But
You
that's not a
know,
sabotage.
okay, then I don't know. Then you tell me.
Sabotage is where you are. I want you to think about if you were going to sabotage a car, would you do it out in the open or would you do it at night and sneak around and get it done and no one could detect what was happening?
Okay.
When we're sabotaging, it's usually coming from things like if I lose my weight, I have a fear of people commenting on my body. So a sabotage would be there's something going on deep inside of me that makes weight loss scary. So if I achieve my weight loss, I will lose these things. And so sabotage ends up happening because there's like this underlying story happening. And so then we do, like, we might quit on a process or something, but we're doing it because we're afraid to succeed.
So I think that that where that's coming from is in years past, having done it some jackass way where you had to over restrict, you had to over exercise. You know, I did boot camp 5 days a week until my knees were torn up. Or my back was a mess, that type thing. And I'm not doing any of that anymore. So maybe I'm not self-sabotaging. And maybe it is just all of this thought that you said, you know, you've had years of hearing that thought, and I just need to not let the feeling ride with it anymore.
Right. I just want to figure out, like, tell me without trying to be like overanalyzed about it.
Okay.
Say you're losing, like, when is the last time you quit the process? The most recent time.
When my neighbor said, oh, wow, you're really losing weight. You look great.
Okay. Tell me when she said that, what did you think?
That I can't keep this up. I never have been able to. And that's really probably it. It's just, and that's not true
And
because I'm
was
not
it
doing anything that's hard.
right? But I just like, I'm not worried about, like, I don't need you to argue with your thoughts here. I just want to figure this out. Because
Yeah. So
it is right,
when
you're
she said
right,
that,
and
I
it's not
thought,
true. But then, but in the moment when our brains hyper react,
yes.
like, oh my gosh, people are starting to notice. I'm not going to be able to keep this up.
Yes.
If you can't keep it up, as a person who succeeds all the time, let's say you were to lose all your weight and you gained it back, what would come up for you?
Just that I'm not real, that this is, I'm not legit, that I'm not as good or put together as people think I am. Imposter.
Is that true? If
In
you
my mind, it would be. And
Right,
I
but
think,
now I'm asking you as the logical version of you. If you were to lose weight and you weren't able to keep it up, Does that actually really mean that you're not as good as people think you are?
No.
What else would it mean?
It just means I'm human, that my weight has been up and it's been down. And that's the funny part. And I think where maybe I need more help is that most people that would look at me wouldn't think I needed to lose weight. You know, it's just like the cute hair thing. People look at me, oh, you look so nice. You dress so cute. And I looked at a picture from a trip that we went on in 2019, and we just went to the same place. And in my mind, I thought I was overweight then, and I'm a little heavier now than I was then. And so when I said that, my husband's like, you know, that's the very point, is that you've never been able to see yourself for what you really are.
Oh, well, he's why
He's
don't you pay
very
him?
smart. I
I
know,
was
it
gonna
really is.
say, you should just
He's,
pay him.
I do. I do. He's very smart. He's very smart. And that's why
Answer his question.
he came up with this yes, but. Why is it if I say you look beautiful today, you have to say yes, but? Or if a stranger says, you know, I like your outfit, in my mind, I got in the car and he says, what was the thought you just had? And I said, yeah, but she can't see that my thighs look fat underneath this skirt.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to say two sentences and I want you to
Okay.
tell me which one feels better.
Okay.
Somebody says, you look nice today. So you say, but she can't see my thighs.
Right.
Somebody says, you look nice today. And you say, and I don't like my thighs.
Well, of course, that one.
Okay. There is something really funny about switching out the word but for people who are like butt masters.
Yes, I'm a butt master.
Yes. I can be a butt master too. It drives my smart husband fucking insane
Insane.
because he is not a butt master. He is
Right.
I tell him all the time. Like I literally looked at him last night. So our son is giving us a run for our money right now. Like Logan is so sweet and stuff, but he is attracting the most god-awful people into his life. And so he befriended this lady. She's like
Uh-oh.
40 at a Waffle House. Her husband's a truck driver. I have nothing against them except she is Looney Tunes. Like some of the things he was telling me, I said, now Logan, like, I'm a little concerned about this lady. Like she doesn't seem to be making really good decisions and stuff like that. I was like, are you sure? And her husband's really nice. Like we've talked to him. His name's Jack. He drives a truck all the time, but he's never at home. And she makes very rash, impulsive decisions. I think she's probably got a psychological disorder. And my son is driving her ass all around Nashville. So then 2 weekends ago, he picks her up from the hospital. She'd stay overnight because a guy that she met on Facebook and let move in with her beat the shit out of her after breaking into her house when she kicked him out. And I'm like, oh my God, I spent my entire life trying not to have my son have my childhood.
Right.
And
Or
I'm
be a
like,
victim.
well, or just like when I was a kid, like there was all kinds of shit happening all the time. Just, I mean, we grew up in, I mean, we were just very poor and all kinds of stuff. And we were always in shady ass apartments. And I remember one time my mom used to let us sleep at a hotel because she worked overnight. And some drunk guys broke into the room. And my brother and I were like 5 and 3. And we had to go find help. Like, so I've always tried to shield Logan from stuff. Well, now he's found it. He was at the DA's office yesterday testifying because he was the one that picked her up. And I'm like, oh my God. The reason why I tell this story is because one, he was at the DA's office. Two, he had to drive downtown in the middle of downtown traffic. Now, my son has autism, drives like a grandpa. And, you know, a lot of people don't like riding with him for a reason. It's kind of scary. And my husband is just like, it's going to be fine. I was like, I think I should get up and go with him. He's like, you need to let him do this himself. I was like, Chris, are you fucking kidding me? And to my mind, he's like, now he's 10 years old. He's like, baby, He's fixing to be 23. I know he can handle it. He will be just fine. You need to let him handle this. And we'll handle other things. Like I told him he couldn't be friends with her no more. I said, child, I know you are a grown ass man now, but I'm just telling you, this woman is a magnet for drama, which means that anybody in her orbit will get be collateral damage of drama, and you're already experiencing it. So he politely ended the friendship after he testified at the DA's office. And so, like, my husband is never a but person. He is like, Logan's got a lot of drama going on in his life, and I don't like it, but he'll handle it. And for you, using the word and, I think for you right now could be really powerful to getting you to stay consistent. So, like, if you mess up, instead of saying, I always mess up, you need to say, I always mess up, and I don't want to abandon the process anymore. Like, two things can coexist at the same time. So, people can be giving you compliments, and I can feel my self-loathing come in, and I can have these thoughts at the same time. It's so different because when we say but, it means all of this that somebody just told me is not true, and says this is true, and so is this at the same time. So you're just honoring, like when somebody says you look so good, you're just honoring their opinion. It's like I can look good and I cannot like my thighs at the same time. Now, that doesn't mean that we do more and more work on you. Do need to talk to yourself nicer. You do need to recognize your successes and stuff. Because you even used but on, I'm so successful over here, but I've never been able to do it in my weight loss. It's like you've been really successful over here. And you have an area that success isn't coming easy to you. And for very successful people, when something's not easy, it's really hard on you.
Yes, 100%.
Because you have, like over here,
Everything
you haven't had
was
to go through the ringer
No, it
like
was
you have
easy.
to over here.
Nope,
Right.
absolutely.
That's why sometimes it's helpful for some successful people to have not had it easy. Because then they've had to overcome so much shit. The next thing they do is easier because they just expect it to be hard. When you've there's like certain like learning was always easy for me as a kid, and then as I got older, when I had to start learning more complicated things, it really threw me for a loop. I started feeling really dumb because this level of learning wasn't coming easy at all. So let's try using but for sure. I mean, and
And
instead of but. So whenever you
yes.
hear a but, you want to say, oh, wait, I'm going to use and. I'd even tell your husband, I'm going to really practice using and so that I can
Yes.
get used to two things being true at the same time for me.
Perfect. Got
So it's going to feel true over here and it's going to feel true over here.
I wrote down stop being a butt master and be an and master.
There you go. No more being a butt master.
And then the other final thing I want to ask you was, I have a tremendous resistance to journaling. It feels like it did when I did Weight Watchers and you had to write everything down and calculate all the points. And so
Wait, food
his
planning or journaling? Because they're two different things.
no, it's the journaling that's
So, like
that
when you're
gets
doing
me.
your thoughts and stuff.
Yes,
Okay.
I it it I'm lumping it in to something of it, to me it just feels I don't know how to describe it, but what he said to me was, why don't you just, instead of calling it a journal, why don't you just call it your list? Because I love a list and I'm a
Make a list of all
taskmaster.
your thoughts.
Exactly. And that's exactly what he
That's
said
how
this morning.
now I do a lot of that. I do a lot of list making of my thoughts.
Yes.
I like, for me, I think very linear. And so if I, like a lot of times I'll say like today's shitty thoughts at the top, but that's just the honest
That's
truth.
fine.
And I just number them. And I'm just
And
like, number one, I'm thinking this today. And number two, and I'm thinking this today. And then
that
I
would
just
work for
take
me.
the list and then I look at it I don't usually refute every thought, every shitty thought that I'm having. A lot of times I don't do any of that. I can just look at the list and just tell myself,
I know where
there's
this is
a
coming
lot
from.
going on in your brain today. Just be aware that all, because I can look at a lot of shitty thoughts and then just tell myself, because I actually believe it, that this is just how I'm thinking about things. There are alternatives, even if I can't access them right now.
Okay.
Just knowing that this is how I'm thinking, but it's not the God's honest truth, the Bible, it's not just a fact, is very helpful for me. It helps me manage my days. Then sometimes I look at them and I'm like, I just pick off the ones where I'm like, well, I also could think about it this way, and that feels a little bit better. You know, this is not as catastrophic as I'm thinking. And
Right.
I use a lot of the and, like Tuesdays are a shitty thought day for me. That is where I have all my meetings, where I have to look at all the business numbers, and I do all the meetings where we're like, what's working, what's not working, what are the ideas, what are we going to call it? Like, it's just a mind taxing day, and a lot of my shitty thoughts come up in the morning. It's just like, I'm not going to like the numbers, and I will use the and I'll say, and I'm getting better at reading them. I'm getting better at understanding them. Like,
Okay.
just to even add that on helps me a lot. Or
Okay.
sometimes I'll just say, if the numbers aren't the way you want them, it's normal to not like them. Rather than me just letting myself be freaked out and have a story, I just like say, it's normal to not like stuff. But we're not gonna yell about it, or we're not gonna freak out about it. Like, just know, like, yeah, it's uncomfortable when, like, if you want one thing and you're getting another, it's not supposed to feel good.
Okay.
But it's also not supposed to derail me, and it's not supposed to stop me from doing my processes. It's not
Okay.
like, that's what I tell myself is like, and it's not gonna do these things. That's where I start getting more control. So maybe try the list thing. The other thing that I would look into, which is important, is we know what you think about journaling, but what are your thoughts about your thoughts? Like, if you were to tell me, like, if, you know, when you list your shitty thoughts or your current thinking or whatever, what do you think about those things?
I don't know how to answer it. I mostly am able to think about where it's coming from and why I thought that.
Okay.
So I've gotten a
Well,
lot
why do
better
you
with being able to
like?
figure out where that's coming from.
Okay. So you have a lot of good thoughts about your thoughts. Do you ever, like, for some people, journaling's hard because for them, seeing how they honestly think, they feel like it's bad. They shouldn't be thinking those things. They feel broken. They kind of have what we call like, here's how I naturally think. And when I look at that, it makes me feel like something's wrong with me. I shouldn't have thoughts like that.
I
That's
think
not normal.
I know a thought that I think that about, and that the thought is, and I know people are not going to like this, but I have that thought about people that are doing like a GLP-1. I realize there's a time and a place. It's just personally not been a good thought or a plan for me. And I know that when I think about people that are on, like if I encounter someone that's lost a ton of weight. In fact, this happened with a patient the other day. And I said, oh, wow, I can tell you've lost a lot of weight. And the comment was, well, I started on a GLP-1. And my instant thought is, well, of course you've lost weight. You're cheating on the test. And that's so not right of a thought. And then I berate myself and I think, okay, well, maybe there really is a secret that you don't know. And I go back down that rabbit hole of all the research and all the There might be, well, maybe carnivore is really right for me. Maybe this, maybe that, maybe the
That
other.
is why
Maybe
you're not journaling. I'm going to tell you
I'm.
right now that if you have, this is where self-sabotage truly comes in.
Okay.
If you think you have thoughts you shouldn't be having and you're ashamed of them or whatever, you don't like them, You will sabotage getting to the root of what's going on inside of you because you don't want to face your shame. You don't want to face your like thoughts about your thoughts. So like with the GLP-1, it's like that is, I think, a very normal thought. I don't think it's true. I don't think people, I coach thousands of them in this group. Every time I go into their private Facebook group, I will promise you the one thing I don't ever see is ease and cheat. They are
I know.
rumbling, you know.
Absolutely. I know it. But
But that would be good for you to journal on instead of hiding from it. Because the more you avoid writing about that thought, you don't ever give new thoughts air to breathe. When you avoid it, it just allows that thought to sit there and be like, oh, you must want to keep it. You don't actually try to change it.
Well, one
And
thing,
like going down the rabbit hole, it seems. It looks like there's a big payoff. Like it's like, I should keep all this. So if you don't ever change, oh, go ahead. Go
one
ahead.
thing you said was that if I switch that thought of, like, say, for example, that this is coming up, I know because the person that's my PCP, I just saw her the other day and she's dropped a ton of weight. And my instant thought was, is I'm sure you're doing something. You've either had a surgery, you're taking a drug, you're doing something. And so my thought was, well, yeah, she's lost weight, but she's doing a drug. And so, but another thought that would be better would be, yes, she's lost a lot of weight and she's had to work at it instead of
Or,
a but.
and I have no fucking clue how hard or easy it is for her.
Okay.
Because I will promise you that what we see in social media on the GLP-1s and weight loss surgeries, but same can be said for people who do fasting and who train for a marathon. So many people, it's really funny to me how GLP-1s, I think, has just kind of triggered a lot of our judgment around people losing weight.
Absolutely.
Like before we had drugs and surgeries, we used to think, well, it's just easy for her because her life's set up different than mine.
Right.
Well, it's easy for her because she can afford to go to Weight Watchers. I can't. Like everybody has their reason when they're struggling with their weight, why somebody else must have it better
Yes.
or easier, whatever. Okay. So, but with the GLP-1s, I think the problem that we're running into is we're only seeing the happy afters. Just like in most diets. Like when keto first started, all of a sudden you just saw everybody like with the happy after. And we just thought, like, well, good for you. I mean, it must be easy if all you're doing is eating meat and you get to eat whatever you want. You don't understand my like my family eats carbs. I don't
Right.
have a choice. You know, like everybody has their thing. So, but I think with GLP-1s, it's just we're in the land of also social media. We only see the happy after. We do not see the lifestyle changes people make. We do not see the work that they actually did have to do. Like, if you go into our group, those ladies are working really hard. They're working on their mind. They're still, like, it does not take away their emotional eating. They're still having to work on it. They're still having to change their diet.
Well, and that's been my resistance to doing any type of thing is that I know that's where the money shot is, so to speak, is it's in the mind. And I mean, I just, and so that's a good thought though of, yeah, maybe they had some help with a medicine or a shot or a pill or whatever, and they're doing the mental work, you know, or something.
I think anything that works for you, but one thing that I would do is not assume you know how easy or hard it is. I think that's the fundamental flaw of your
Okay.
thought. And that for someone who's always been successful and things have come easy, I think that's why it's particularly bothersome to you.
Say that again, because that's critical. Say that what you said
Think
again.
as someone who's been as successful as you have, where it's been easy.
Yes.
And this is why this is so painful. Because it's like the one thing you would love to be really skilled at and have easy. Like you'd
Yes.
probably trade some of the things you've been good at just for the weight loss side.
No
It's
joke.
like when your brain thinks someone's like getting the one thing you want
Yep.
easy, I think that's why it's particularly painful for you.
Okay.
That's why I think the real thing for you is to say, I don't know how easy or hard it has been for them. Like, you don't know. The only people we're seeing with GLP-1 success are the people who talk about it. But there is a lot of people who don't have success on them. We have people in our membership now. I mean, there's 2,000 people in that group. And a lot of them will tell you, didn't work for me.
Right.
I overate anyway. And they spent a lot of money and a lot of time trying to make it work. And it didn't. So I think you do your work on, it's okay that this isn't easy for me. It's got its own unique reasons why it's hard. One of the things is because I'm so quick to dismiss anything positive.
Okay.
I'm making it harder on myself. When somebody tells me I look like I'm losing weight and I say, but here's the stack of reasons why I don't get to feel good about it,
Right.
I'm making it so much harder on myself. And I will just say, just one last thing about the shots, because I want all my members, whether you're on them or not, to hear this. You all deserve to be proud of yourselves. You do not have to earn your own pride. The hardest thing, I think, to convince people is to feel safe being proud, especially if they're going to be proud of things that society says you have to be this way before you get to be proud. It's like, nope. I get to be proud of little things. I get to be proud of the big things. I get to be proud if I choose a different path than what society says. I just get to.
You know, that just hits something in me because, you know, all of these things that I have done well and that have come so easily to me, I very much minimize when people compliment or they say, you know, this, that, or the other, because in my mind, I haven't done the
Right.
one thing that I want to do, I haven't done.
And I'll just tell you, from one successful bitch to another, it is human to be successful in some areas and other areas not be as easy. But when you experience success, especially when it comes easy in some areas, it's like it makes you think it's that's the way it should be in all areas. And it's like, no, we're supposed to be good at some stuff and suck at others. That's just the way it's supposed to be. And if you suck at something and you want to be better at it, that just means over there, you just have to work harder. You have to go through the stuff that you never had to go through over here. That's why it's uncomfortable. Because over here, you're having to cheerlead yourself instead of berate yourself. Over here was
Absolutely.
easy because you were just succeeding, so it was easy to celebrate.
So my brilliant husband who came up with these other thoughts that you thought were good, this is what he said to me this morning about it. He said, you know, he was going through a higher education program and he was just pissed about how all the tedious, stupid stuff he had to do. And I said, it's just part of it. You just have to jump the hoops. Just do the hoops. It'll be worth it when you're done. And he said, you know what? You need to take your own advice. Just do the hoops. You
I'm
know?
telling you, we ought to like hire your husband to be
I
a
know.
head coach.
Yeah, you want him? He would love
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, give him a big high five from me that,
I will.
like, I always take the husband's side almost all the time anyway, but this husband for sure.
Yeah. Yep. I will. I
All
will.
right.
Yes. Thank you,
Well,
smart
thank
guy.
you.
Thank
All right.
you. Bye bye.
Bye-bye. He's a smart guy. Let's see. Susan Fenwick? We can grab one more. Hey, Susan. Oh, wait, you're muted.
You got it.
There you go. Hey, what can I coach you on
Hey.
today?
All right. So we actually go way back, even though I just joined July 10th.
Okay, 2 days before my birthday.
Oh, yes. I remember coming in and hearing about your birthday. Because we did weight. We lost weight for you, didn't we?
Yes, y'all did.
Yes.
Over 10,000 pounds.
That's right. I was part of it because I instantly, as soon as one of the first things was no BLTs, and I didn't even know I did that. So
Yeah.
that was one of the first things I stopped and I've continued with, and I instantly lost like 5 pounds or so, within a couple of
Okay.
weeks, few not 3 weeks, 3 weeks, I want to say. But anyway, we go way back because I first wanted to lose weight and listened to Brooke Castillo. I caught one of her, when she put out that book, If I'm So Smart, Why Can't I Lose Weight? And I
Yep.
read that, and then I started following her, and did the no sugar, no flour, and lost the weight pretty quick. But then over time, I gained it back.
Okay.
And I had moved to a small, from the big city. I first lived in Dallas, Texas, the first 30 years of my life. And then the next 30 years, I lived in San Jose, California. But then we moved to a rural town in 2017 and
Okay.
became kind of semi-retired. And so anyway, I've gained and lost this same 20 or 30 pounds multiple times in my life. But through Brooke Castillo, I learned about you and started listening to you. And I thought, oh, I like this. I like how what she talks about and how this sounds. But the thing that's always kept me from joining your program was first, it was super expensive. And then the journaling or the writing your plan out, not journaling, but writing the plan out every day for a week. I think you used to teach that, you need to write down what you're going to eat for the week. And that kind of was off-putting to me. So anyway, I gradually gained weight back. And then in 2020, when that happened, I was beginning to drink more. My husband and I, we were semi-retired. We moved to this small rural community and just drinking every day. So I joined a program, Sober Sis, and got a very healthy relationship now with alcohol. But so I can do programs and I follow the rule. I'm a rule follower. I do, you tell me what to do and I follow the rules. So in the back of my head, I have this idea that, your marketing is lose weight for the last damn time. And
Yeah.
that's what has been my draw. But in the back of my head, I'm like, no, this newness is going to wear off. I'm going to go back to
Well, newness
think.
will wear off. I just want us to make that a fact. That is how the brain works. It's just like if you get a brand new car in 3 months, it doesn't smell the same. You're not taking care of it the same. Kind of feels new, but it doesn't feel as great as the first week. So our hedonic conditioning is supposed to kick in. I was actually thinking about this morning. It's so funny you brought it up because I was looking in the mirror at, as I'm getting ready, and I was like, I don't know if I like how I'm looking. Blah, blah, blah. Like the normal body image thoughts came up. And I literally in that moment thought, man, back in 2007, when I first hit this, I was fucking elated. I mean, like I might as well have been on cocaine, dope, all of it, all at one time. I was so thrilled. Years later, it's not exciting at all. I probably have more negative body image thoughts than I ever do. Just like, God damn, we lost weight thoughts. Like, never happens. So the same, like that happens not only like in maintenance. It's why so many people bomb in maintenance because the good feelings finally go away. And then you're just left with your normal body image thoughts. And if you're used to being critical, you have to overcome that. But the same thing happens when you start something new. You're supposed to hedonic condition to it. It's supposed to lose its newness, its excitement and stuff. It's supposed to get to the point to where it's like, oh, okay, now we're in the part where I do it not because it's new. I do it because of what I want.
Correct.
That's not exciting.
I was just listening to something about marriage. Marriage is the same. I mean, in the beginning, it's all,
Yeah, you ain't ever gonna feel like I, Chris and I talk about it all the time. When we go to Vegas, now we have a lot of sex when we go to Vegas. I will just say, like, we were joking about it because we went last weekend, or we've been home for a week. I hadn't had sex at all. When we're in Vegas, it's twice a day. And I'm like, what is wrong with this house? It's like a sponge and it just takes all the sexual energy with it. But I was like,
Work. It's all
even
work.
when we're in Vegas and we're just like, let's get it on. Nobody can walk in on us, like all the things. It never feels like it did those first couple months with Chris. I mean, it was like electricity from my head to my toes. Now, like, we got to warm up. Even when we really want to be doing it twice a day, it's still a process.
It is.
You know?
It is.
So.
So yeah, there's that. I'm just concerned. I guess I'm overly concerned. I don't know why I go back and forth and I go into this negative, even though most of the time I'm a positive person. I still, struggle with this. I don't know how to describe it other than just confusion in my head. I have these confusing thoughts. I have very positive, very most of the
What
time
are the can
positive.
you just give me like two of your confusing thoughts?
I'm sorry, I wasn't more prepared for this, but
That's okay. Just think like when you said, like when you were talking, it's like, you know, I just go from this to then I just have all these confusing thoughts. Like what?
so let's just take my job, for instance. So I'm a librarian in elementary school. I said I'm semi-retired now. I'm not there for the money. I'm just there because I love the students and kids, and just it gets me out of the house and keeps me from just, I'm like I said, in a small community now. So if I didn't get out,
Entertaining.
yeah, it's
Keep from being
entertaining.
bored. It gives you
Yeah,
purpose. Those are great
right.
things. Okay.
It is. But sometimes I think, well, you've never been a librarian before. You don't know how to be a librarian. So why are you doing that? Or something like that. Not why am I doing that? Because I know why I'm doing it. It is great fun and I
But
love
why
being
is
the.
that thought confusing to you?
Why do I think I'm not up for the challenge? Why? What?
Because you haven't done it
Well,
before.
I think part of it goes back to in college when I got a big red F on a English paper. And I think I'm stupid. And I
What else
just.
did you think? What do you think? Like, I want you to think about this. When you get an F, or when you start a new job that you've never done, in your mind, what should be happening?
Well, when I got that job, I immediately went to the internet and said, how do I be the best librarian ever? And I got all kinds of good tips because my school district doesn't give me anything. Really, I
Okay.
mean, the librarian that was there before me gave me 2 weeks, and that's all the
So
training I had.
you handle confusion well.
At times I guess I do, because I'm always trying to, I always bring up the positive side. Like when I get into a downward dog mode, I can usually flip it to the good
So
things. I can find
you have, what is the problem then? If you
the
handle confusion well, and if you have negative
just
thoughts, you can flip it. What is the problem?
why do I have the why do I keep thinking I'm too stupid to do whatever it is?
I don't know. I guess I really don't have those thoughts as much anymore.
Okay, so we don't need
Because
to work on that. If it's hardly ever happening, that means at some point, probably
I've
over the
gotten.
years, you've probably listened to Brooke enough. You've probably listened to me enough to just like talk better to yourself.
Yeah, you know, I think you
Unwound
might.
some of
I
it.
think you could be right. You know, I don't listen to Brooke anymore.
But
I
she's
just
not even
haven't been that.
podcasting, so it's hard to listen to Brooke anymore.
Oh, that I get. I stopped listening to her probably about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. So, yeah.
Yeah, she's not podcasting, so. But I
Okay.
want you to think about this. Even if you listen to her for a while, and I'm somebody that listened to Brooke probably also does other types of self-development, reading or listening or something.
I do.
You've probably unwound a lot of that. Like, I think a lot of times, I think the only thing that's confusing to you is why do I have negative thoughts when I'm a positive person?
I
I
guess
will
we
just,
all do.
yes. Like there is a large part of our brain designed and highly motivated to throw shit first just in case you need it. Like if you fail at something, the brain's first thought is, oh my God. Something's wrong. That shouldn't have happened. Let me catastrophize. Let me say crazy things that aren't true because I need to get your attention. This is important. That's really the reason why our brains do that. It is literally the brain's way because it knows you will listen to negative thinking. Our brains will listen to it. You listen to it. In fact, a lot of times when I talk to people, it's harder for me to get the positive thoughts out of you. I can get negative thoughts all day long. But then when I'm like, you know, tell me, we do this exercise sometime at our live events, our camps, where we haven't done it in a couple of years. I'll have to think about doing it this year. But anyway, the exercise is first, I want you to write all the things that are like all the things that are wrong with you. If you could fix things, what's wrong with you? Just make me a list. And I mean, it is people are script. I have to call time. I'm like, okay, pens down, no more writing. We've got to stop. Like, okay. And I'm like, now flip the page over or get a new page because some people have already done that with their list. Write all the things that are wonderful about you. Perfect. Amazing. And I'm not shitting you. I don't think this would happen to you, but I have had times, and I would say 10% of the room immediately starts crying because they can't think of anything. Then 70% of the room starts crying because they list two or three things, and then they can't think of anything. And then the next group starts crying because they only had a handful and they realize how different the negative one is from the positive one. And then I have about 10% of the women who are crying because they're so happy, they're not one of the 90%. They can list as many positives as negatives or more positives than they list negatives.
Good. Thank you. That's excellent. So let me get to the most current place that I am right now, and that is the thought that there's a group of you that do really well with Corinne's plan. You've kept all the weight off. I'm talking coaches. Let's just say coaches. The coaches have figured out how to keep their weight off and all the things. In my mind, I'm thinking, what's they now? They're not eating whatever they want. They have got to be, they must have some sort of good, you know, the good, better, best plan foods. They must know those best foods and they must be adhering to eating only those best foods. Because
Ask me what I ate for dinner last night. Just ask me.
what did you have for dinner last night, Corinne?
Meatballs, mashed potatoes, and a bowl of cereal. Chocolate cereal.
That's hilarious.
That was last night. So we ate early because I was starving yesterday, starving at 4 o'clock. And I looked at Chris, he wanted to take a shower, and I said, no. He hadn't had a shower in 2 days. And I said, no, we're going to eat and then you get to shower. Like, I'm ready to throw down right now. So I ate my meatballs and my mashed potatoes. And at 8 o'clock, I was hungry again. I was like, I'm going to go get some of that new chocolate Kashi cereal that Logan bought. And I had a bowl of that while he ate graham crackers.
How funny. How funny. So
But I was hungry and I stopped it enough.
I guess it's a process. I just seem to be kind of stuck. Like I said, I with no bites, licks, and taste, I got rid of 5 pounds, and I'm very good at not eating fast enough. I'm not super good at eating it waiting for hunger, but I've figured out I am hungry enough. I'm empty. So, I figured out that that's okay to eat when I'm just empty. And
You're
I don't,
supposed to eat when you're hungry, not when you're starving.
right. I got it. I
Now,
figured
I
that
want to
one
say
out.
this. I don't know if this is any hangover from no sugar, no flour. I don't agree with the no sugar, no flour. I just watched tons of scholars and people I knew in the coach land who ended up with borderline eating disorders, or at least disordered eating from the way Brooke taught that program. Erase your mind of whatever she taught on that. I love Brooke, but I do not agree with her program. And she knows it. Like, we've talked about it.
Right.
I'm just like, I'm like, I think no sugar, no flour is great if you happen to be a diabetic. But for
Yeah.
most women, it's not addressing the emotional eating.
It's not sustainable.
Not for most people, not for most the way most people want to eat. I like to teach, we are going to eat foods we love. Now, that doesn't mean every meal's an orgasm and every single meal is full of foods you love. I'm trying to remember what I even ate for lunch yesterday. I don't know why I cannot think of what I had for lunch. I had eggs and a Kodiak muffin cup for breakfast. I do remember that. And I had something for lunch and I can't remember what it is now. The same, like, just say it was a salad. It was probably something, it had to have been something boring. I don't have a lot of food in the house right now. So it was probably something. No, it was sushi. I had sushi for lunch. My son and I went to Whole Foods on Friday when he got back from the DA's office testifying. And so we went to Whole Foods and I had gotten some food for the weekend. So I had sushi for lunch. And I love sushi and it's healthy. So I eat it. And then I had my meatballs and mashed potatoes. And then I had some cereal later. Now, next week, my best friend's gonna be here. She eats mega healthy. I'm probably gonna be eating salads and all. She's a Ironman athlete, and she's in the middle of training right now, so she can't afford to be, eating a bunch of shit all the time. Otherwise, you don't want to be having diarrhea on a 20-mile run. So, I'll eat right alongside with her, and I probably won't enjoy half of what I eat. I won't hate it. But it ain't gonna be meatloaf and mashed potatoes either, or meatballs and mashed potatoes either. It'll be decent. It'll be all right. I'm willing to eat that. Like, it'll be tasty, but not orgasmic. What I teach with the food is the reason we lose it for the last time is because we choose to start eating based on what we really want for ourselves. So, no, most of us are not going to just eat pizza, hamburgers, and our favorite foods all the time and lose weight because most of those foods are not what we really want. Because a lot of us don't want the long-term health problems that come along with it. We don't want the constipation that comes along with it or the diarrhea. We don't want the expense of eating out all the time that comes along with it. Like, when we think about the drops in energy levels when you never have fruits and vegetables. We don't want all of that. So I take a more holistic want approach. It needs to satisfy your taste buds, but it's got to, like, we got to start thinking about all the areas of our life we would love to be satisfied with food too. And we pull that all together. Then we're also doing the emotional eating work where we learn how to stop feeding our emotions. And we start listening to them. and we start working with them, and we start giving them space to be there, and we start learning how to like respect them. And then we do the thinking work where we're doing things like we're doing right now. Like today's call has been a lot of thinking work on, I don't know, maybe we should use and instead of but. I want you to have a mistakes cage. So when you take all of that, yeah, we can lose weight for the last time. Because now we've removed like all the shitty thoughts that drive not being able to lose weight, the feelings we eat over, and we're really listening to our body. We're not just listening for hunger, and we're not just listening for nutrition, but we're listening for pleasure and joy, and we're listening for celebration, and we're listening for energy, and we're listening for our colon. Like we're letting everybody be a part of the decision-making process. That's why we lose it for the last time.
All right. I guess I'm just in a stall and I don't know why. It just t will take some time. I pretty much have always had my breakfast and lunch dialed in. At the moment I'm in a oatmeal phase because I gave up coffee and coffee always made me do the poop thing. And so now it's oatmeal. So I eat oatmeal every morning for breakfast. I usually make it the night before. And because I don't really like cold oatmeal, I microwave it in the morning and have my oatmeal. Easy peasy. I'm learning to not even finish it. And because really some days I recognize that I've had enough and I put it aside because it's not that long till lunch. So, and usually lunch is always for years, I've just done a salad and a protein. Salad and a
Yes.
protein.
Nice and
So
easy.
that's easy peasy. I do cook for my father-in-law every night because he lives on our property in a separate house. And so every night, it gives him something to do every day is to come over and eat with us. And so I make a meal every night. And it is so fun right now because after joining your program, I realized that by the time I had cooked dinner for my father-in-law, my husband, I wasn't even hungry because of so many bites, licks, and tastes while I was preparing it, because I'm always very hungry when I'm making dinner. And so now it is so much fun to sit down and actually be hungry and eat a
Yes.
meal. It's been a change that I really appreciate in your program that I
Why do
didn't
you think you're on
even.
a stall?
Well, I'm 5'2" and I'm around 130, and I guess I was 137 when I first was starting wanting to lose weight, but I've been at 130 since 3 weeks after I joined you. So
So, for the last 3 weeks, it's July 10th. So the last 3 or 4 weeks,
I've been at
you lost
I've lost
7 pounds, and then 3 weeks you've been on a stall.
I had before I joined your program, I had lost two. And so with
Okay.
your program, I lost five.
Okay.
So
But
now
that
I'm
would
on a
still be
stall.
7. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
And it's only been 3 weeks.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, in the last 3 weeks, has there been any emotional eating at all?
I don't, a little, a
Okay.
little, but those
At
emotions are.
5'2", with hardly any, let me just say this. At 5'2", with hardly any weight for you to technically lose, you're already in a healthy weight range for your height. I hope you know that. You're just at the top.
Well, I would say after losing with bro after the no flour, no sugar, I was down to 120. And
Right,
so
but I
I'd
didn't
like to see
say
one.
that's fine. I just want you to recognize that when you only have 10 pounds to lose, you don't have room for emotional eating. So, like when you
Okay.
say, well, a little bit, if you have 100 pounds to lose, you can do some donkey butt eating and lose weight.
Okay.
When you got 10 pounds to lose, it's not that you have to eat less. This is what people conflates people. They think, oh, I'm just going to have to eat a lot less. It's like, no, You don't have room for emotional eating. And that is, let me give you an example. I think I did it in today's newsletter. I don't care if you're eating the world's healthiest foods. So take a car, for example. If I have a car that has a 50-gallon tank and I go to a gas station and I'm putting premium gas in it, the highest, most quality gas. But I'm trying to cram 60 gallons of gas in a 50-gallon tank. What happens to the extra?
Spills out.
Right. That's emotional eating. Everything that spills out in our pants. So when you
Got
only have
it.
10, you're like saying, well, I have a 50-gallon tank. Me trying to squeeze 60 gallons in it shouldn't be causing me that many problems. It's
Oh,
like
good.
you
That's
only
a
got 10 pounds. So that means that every emotional eat is like saying, I can't get the extra gas in here and it not spill out.
Love that analogy. That's perfect. You're right. I mean, because really, I only have like 10 pounds that I want to lose.
Yes. Which means you will want to double down on emotional eating. I'm like, where are these emotional eats coming? Because that's where my 10 pounds are. It's not going to be eating less oatmeal and less salad. This is what I watch people do all the time. They got 10 pounds to lose and they're just like, oh, I'm barely going to be able to eat. And they'll have like emotional eats going on and they won't focus on those. They'll make the meals over here miserable. I'm like, don't do that to yourself. Not saying you're doing it, but that's what I see. So just keep that in mind that it's now I'm going to do the part that I haven't done in previous diets. Those emotional eats, we're going to figure out why, and we're going to break those things down so that now.
Usually my emotional eats are just like over boredom, just bored. Because I'm high energy, what's it called? I was diagnosed with
ADHD.
ADHD. Yeah. So I'm high energy, always wanting the next thing to happen.
You
So I
have to
get
get
bored.
very right. And so you've got to get very comfortable with being bored and just be like, this is boredom. I don't need to eat through it. It's just going to be uncomfortable because I have ADHD and I'd like to do something. So I
You know
have a
what?
choice. I can either go do something and busy myself, or I can just sit here and say, like, if I don't actually want to do these things, I'm not going to eat to solve my boredom.
Yeah. You know, this program has also helped me just slow down. So that's the hardest thing of your program is to slow down while I'm eating dinner at night. That is the hardest thing. I've tried my left hand. That helps me, the left hand. Helps me looking at my watch helps me to acknowledge when I start, what time I start eating, and I'm usually done 5 minutes later. So taking time to slow down has helped me, not just with food, other things, other parts of my life that I need to slow down with. So thank you.
You're
Thank you for who
welcome.
you are. You've done a great job. This I love. I'm so happy to be here.
All right. Well, we're happy to have you. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, y'all. We're going to be back in 12 minutes. We went over for the maintenance call. So if you are in maintenance and you would like coaching, you need to come back and raise your hand. And then I'm going to go to the bathroom. Talk to y'all in a few minutes. Bye, y'all.